RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome on into our Week 17 point after the Black and Gold getting a 34-26 victory in Tennessee. Didn't look pretty to start with, but the Saints end up finding a way to finish with their fourth straight victory, now 6-10 on the season. Boy, oh boy, Cajun Cannon, this was an entertaining one from start to finish for the Black and Gold, and definitely feels a lot better, obviously, when you're ending with the victory.
Yeah, if you'd have told me that we'd have to score 30-some points. I don't think we're going to win the game. I didn't think, a shootout type thing. No. Kind of low 20s, 24-20 or something like that. Because I'm just looking at what's been occurring this season. So to score 34 points, no. Talishuk's the difference. You can't say, like, well, this and that. No.
I know you kept saying, too, after Chase Young had that touchdown, you're like, oh, you gotta win a game like this.
When you get a scoop and score or a pick six, or even say like a kickoff return for a touchdown or a punt return, no, you got to win those games. If you're a good team, you have to win those games. So we found a way to win, which is unbelievable because I was surprised, and it was more than a field goal game. We won by 8 points. So, because I thought it would come down to, Charlie Smith, will he make the kick or not? Because their kicker was hot. I mean, it looked like Steve that he wasn't going to miss the way he was kicking. Sly, right. So I thought it might come down to that. You got to give the Saints a lot of credit. I don't know if you're tailgating and you go to Atlanta, keep tailgating to about the middle of the second quarter and then just go in the stadium. Because we never get off to a fast start. And then in the first quarter, we're losing 6-0.
We're a second half team.
And it's been second half, and it's been like that. I don't know if I've ever witnessed that. Okay, we've now been outscored 115-29 in the first quarter.
115-29.
Yes, in the first quarter. So that's basically when you look like a 4-1. No, so you think things might change, and I'm telling you, they're trying to change things. Oh, they're an airline highway, and to get off to fast starts. But I don't know. It's something they might have to work on the off season. But the bottom line is that you're winning in the fourth quarter than in a game. But it just helps your chances when you get off to a fast start, and you're setting the tone. To look what occurred and was outstanding on the Saints' regard. I thought we were a little shaky in the first half with the defense, especially on our young secondary. On the back end. But this is something that as the game has progressed, we've been an unbelievable, second half team. Do you know who's the number one team in the NFL second half scoring defense in the whole NFL? Number one, and I'm not sugarcoating. How many points we gave up in the second half? I think six. I want to say in the second half on the top of my head.
Correct.
Okay, how many points we've been giving up in the second half, average NFL? 7. That's number one. Not the Houston Texans.
Second half team, Bobby.
Not Denver. Not the Chargers. Like Denver, they're giving up 9.5. Houston's right at 9. No, we're giving up 7. Today we gave up only 6. So
don't mess with us in the third and fourth quarter.
No, that's a big enough sample size to show you how dominant we've been. And then I'm going to, give their props to set in the pregame. I'm going to say it in the postgame. They're getting better and better. That'd mean Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson. to compliment Tyler Shuck. Maybe it might, the quarterback might have something to do with that. Or, you know, working together in a tandem. You know, you got to have that connection between receiver, quarterback, quarterback, receiver, and all that. And I think we have like a three-headed monster, I think, truly, with Chris Olave, Juwan Johnson, and Tyler Shuck. Now, looking at the game, you know, I would have thought maybe we had more first downs, but because we had more total yards. We had 423 total yards to their 336, so I'm 100 more. But they had 18 first downs, to our 16. You know why? Because we had, look at this, like pushing the ball down the field. If Tyler Shuck plays against well against Atlanta, he's the NFL Rookie of the Year. I don't care what the Saints' record is. How can you not give it to him, considering he's the most accurate passer of all the rookies in the National Football League right now? And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. Tyler Shuck came into the game 66.5%. Jackson Dart, 62. Cam Ward at 60. Well, Cam Ward was 52.5 today. You know what Tyler Shuck was? 81.5% accuracy. Look at the last three consecutive wins before this game. He was 68.3, and he had a quarterback rating of 91.4. Well, today his quarterback rating was 143. You know what Cam Ward was? 89. So I don't know. I'm just going by what they accomplished on the field.
And looking to Cajun Cannon with Shuck battling for that Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year Award. Tet McMillan definitely in the running for the Carolina Panthers. He only had one grab for 5 yards today in their loss to Seattle.
Okay, say it again, Steve. One grab for five yards.
And a loss to Seattle.
And a loss. And does anybody want to win the NFC South? Is Carolina or Tampa Bay? Boy, if Tampa Bay don't make it, boy, see, if Carolina don't make it, they're kind of up and coming. But Tampa Bay, it might be one of the biggest slides and going from the penthouse to the outhouse in NFL history. Because at one point, they're running away with the NFC South, like, what, 3 or 4 game lead? And
what's wild is if they lose in their finale, they'll be 7-10 on the season, and the Saints could finish 7-10.
We're getting hot at the right time, and Tampa Bay is not. They're
off the cliff, right?
They are falling apart. Now, looking at third down again, we were 5-11. Boy, I wish we, you know, that's 45%. I like that's, you wouldn't be 45 or above, hovering around 50%. But again, our defense was outstanding. You have to look at the big picture. Sometimes they look like, man, we can't stop them on third down, then they will stop them. They were only 5 of 15, 33%. That's outstanding. Again, you know why? On this season, guess what we give up? 34.8%, and today we gave up 33%. You know what 34.8% is on the season? Fourth best in the NFL. Fourth best in the NFL. So you know who we're hanging with, best third down defense? Guess who's won? Denver Broncos, 2 Seattle Seahawks, 3 Houston Texans. So we were the best of the best on defense. So that has to continue. If we continue to do that, third down defense and scoring defense in the second half, damn, if we just start off fast, we might blow out people. We might be that dominant if that were to continue. Look, as far as efficiency, no, we want Smith to kick long field goals. We don't want, you know, like, damn, no, we're inside the 20. We got to get a touchdown. We don't even be selling no damn field goals. Well, guess what? In the red zone, we were 2 for 2, 100%. Goal to goal, 1 for 1, 100%. That speaks volumes right there. And finally, we flipped the script because it's been always the other way around. Our average per carry was 4.5, and the great Tennessee Titans with Pollard, and you got Tajay Spears, 3.9. So that's always been, you know, how many times I say, what's bugging me? Oh, we got to run the ball for a better average. And we got to stop our opponent, hold them like 3 point something. We're able to do that. And thank God that we've been blessed with considering the running back injuries. I don't know, that Estime looks like a beast mode at times. How hard he runs, 14 carries, 94 yards. Almost a 7-yard average, 6.7. He had a touchdown, had a long gain of 32.
And down in crunch time.
Yes, crunch time when it counts. Okay, nothing against Devin Neal and Kendrick Miller, but I don't know. They don't look that much. It's all about opportunity. You take advantage of it. They don't look better than that cat. I mean, you know, you compete.
You love to say, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah, you just compete and you take advantage of opportunity. So good for Estime as we finally flipped the script in the whole offensive unit because we've piecemealed the offensive line right now when you think about it. Now, we couldn't really block Jeffrey Simmons, but nobody can block him. Again, remember we had their Tyler. Remember the pregame, the horse for them, the play-by-play.
The voice of the Titans, right.
The voice of the Titans. He said, watch for Gray. Well, he had 12 tackles, 9 unassisted.
Definitely a dude that's
tackle
everywhere.
Fell out. Then Jeffrey Simmons, he had 7 total, a sack, a quarterback hurry. So, not surprised what the Titans were doing. We thought their players that were studs were going to play like studs, and they did. But we finally flipped it as far as because we definitely weren't winning. I know, talking with Deuce about this, that in the first half, we were getting our ass whipped on the line of scrimmage. But we, you know, kept fighting, and we ended up getting better and winning in the trenches. Not all the time.
Even Pollard had a decent day, but he didn't hurt us in the end zone, at least.
No, when you look at Pollard, yeah. He's been averaging like 6.7, what Estime did, where we held him to 4.7.
Right, it's like, woo-hoo.
Yeah, but he didn't get 100 yards. He was, like, he had a game this year, almost 170 yards rushing. I want to say
against
it was the
Cleveland,
Browns and
right.
The Browns defense. So, yeah, it wasn't like, because overall, like I said, 3.9 average a team. Tajay Spears only had 2 yards on 6 attempts.
That's like me running the ball.
Yeah, so like you just not really, do you count that as even falling forward? I don't know. That was not the case there. Now, Tyler Shuck got sacked 2 times. Cam Ward was sacked 4 times. And now in the last 2 games, we have 12 sacks. 12 sacks. So you look as a team and where we're at as far as sacking the quarterback. You know, I talked to Deuce. I talked to all about that. If you're really sacking the quarterback and influencing the quarterback, you got to be. I don't think we'll get there, but we coming on strong down the stretch they come. I don't know if we'll get to high 40s. You know, I say got to be 47, 48, then you definitely amongst the best if you always like low 50s. Well, coming into the game, we had, 36. So what are we at? 40 or 41 right now? So when we come close, we have we're going to go on against Kirk Cousins. Come on, he's going to be a statue back there in the Falcons. We sacked him before, sack him. Now he's going to get rid of the ball quick. Sack him 3 or 4 times, and then we would have come up strong with the sack total. But again, Cam Ward was sacked more than 2-1, and Shuck 4 sacks, and Shuck sacked twice. You know, you can look at net yards and all that. You can see how accurate, but 333 yards passing. And then you look at Cam Ward, 251. But if you look at yards per attempt, that means not he ain't dinking and dunking. Tyler Shuck, yards per attempt, 12.3. Cam Ward, 6.3. So basically doubled it. So, I mean, I don't know. Y'all tell me who's the better quarterback right now, not where they were drafting. Who's the better quarterback? The number one overall pick, Cam Ward? Or you say, or Tyler Shuck, who's the 40th pick? All I know is they went head-to-head.
Back-to-back 300-yard games now for Shuck.
Back-to-back 300-yard games. We have the quarterback. We just got to get the team better.
Let's do it.
We have the right quarterback. We just got to get the team better. And the Saints, I'm not saying we're going to be the second coming of the Patriots in 2026 and Drake May.
But we could be.
We could be. You never know. But look where the Patriots were in 2024.
Yeah.
Jacoby Brissett started, I want to say, game 6. Now, we put in Shuck game 9, but they put in Drake May game 6. Oh, it looks like then Vrabel comes on board, and look, they chance for number 1 seed, all that stuff. So, okay, slow our roll, but I'm just telling you. I think, like, the Patriots got the right quarterback in Drake May. The Saints got the right quarterback in Tyler Shuck. Now we just got to get the best players around them. I truly believe that's the case. Now, turnover margin. Listen, you always want to be on that plus side, but now we end up being 0 with the turnover margin, but I think what Chase Young did, that counts like for 2 takeaways. When you're going to get a sack, force a fumble, and just snatch it away from him, take off and run, and you score.
Fumble was going to be a touchdown.
Yes, yes. Then our fumble was going to be a touchdown. And that was a little bad luck, but we still overcame that.
Yep.
In the past, see, if you don't overcome that, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Dante Pettis, I was ready to give Dante Pettis an honorable mention game ball.
Right.
But no, you can't fumble. Because Dante Pettis,
but impressive yardage,
had 172 total yards. You
Dante
know what I
Pettis.
Dante Pettis, right, from University of Washington. That dude's a veteran that's been hanging out on the practice squad. I mean, he's like a 7-year veteran. He's a Washington Husky, 6'1", 195. So he's like in his 7th year. But hey, you want that NFL lifestyle, you keep making plays like that, you have a job, and you might have to be in different situations or different teams. But look, he had 97 yards kick return, 22 punt. He had a long punt return of 17 yards. I take that. That's like almost 2 first downs. And then he caught 53 yards receiving. So good for Dante Pettis. And, you know, you could, like Kellen Moore's going to have a problem having to give away a lot of game balls this game. You know, you could say, well, Bobby, and I told Steve this, you know, diamond in the rough, however you describe it. I said, no, we don't expect Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson to be a diamond in the rough. They just need to be a damn diamond. You know, like this is my engagement ring. This is what, not coming out of nowhere. No, a diamond in the rough is like Estime. And all of a sudden, averaging 6.7 yards a carry and right at the cusp of getting 100 yards. And so, see, that's what I said. No, we got to give him the game. And then Chase Young. Now, he's a diamond, but you very seldom, you could be the most, I'm going to tell how many times Myles Garrett has scored. You think, like, that'd be interesting. Like, all the great, like, Lawrence Taylor, Reggie White, Myles Garrett, how many times have they had a sack, fumble, and you score for a touchdown? Because that's how significant that play is. So I said, Steve, you got to give, because that's unusual. You have to give a Chase Young a diamond in the rough.
Myles Garrett has one career touchdown, Cajun Cannon.
Okay, and we just saw Chase Young, and look how impressive that was. Again, you remember when I tell you when you rush in the quarterback, you can't cream the quarterback no more. Go for the arm, go for the ball. The quarterback's not strong enough to hold on to it. Be under control, so he's not going to juke you, and go for whatever, you know, if you have two hands around or one, go for the ball.
There was some magic going on there.
Yeah, and just take it away. That's what's so critical if you're able to do that. Now, this is not good to start a game in the first half. I know we were worried about their punt return game, and we should be, because they were number one in the NFL. Wasn't it DK, that cat?
Yeah.
He was averaging like 17 and a half yards of punt return, number one. So I know they told Kroger, dealing with the wind, don't punt it to him. Well, then, shank.
You mentioned 17-yard returns are great, but not 17-yard punts.
No, 17-yard punt. And then, therefore, what are you, punting in high school? His net average is 29.7. Not good. So I don't know. Come on, you got a competition. That might be wide open.
Put that one on the list.
Yeah, that punting job might be wide open for next year, but neither quarterback threw an interception. Like I said, turnover margin was 0, minus 3 for the season. Again, when you win, you don't look at it. But we don't need Charlie Smith missing no damn field goals under 50 yards. So he's now missed 2 kicks, what, 43 and 47?
Right.
And then he makes the 50-yarder, and then, I don't know, then extra point. You can't be doinking an extra point.
That was one of those that doink,
doink
goes
and
in.
It goes in. No. So, again, he has to work on that, because it's going to be game-winning kicks, and you're going to be kicking in inclement weather, outdoors, indoors, whatever. Now, Atlanta next week, we didn't have to be perfect to finish strong, so we have confidence going into the offseason that he's going to be the punter for next year. But, you know, looking at DK, Steve, he only had one punt return, 7 yards. So if Kroger could take out that shank, then our coverage is everything. We did a pretty damn good job. He did have one kick return for 33, and Pettis had that one for 32. But just an outstanding win. The Saints on a roll, 4 in a row. We can win 5 in a row. And now, as we go to the break, look, this is ridiculous. When the Saints don't win, the board, like, we have, okay, on the board at what time we can have 12-plus callers.
Correct.
And they have, you could times that times three or four, and you can't put them all on the board. The Saints win? You have people who really like the Saints, and they want to look at the glass half full. But
They're celebrating right now.
No, they can't bitch. And people want to just, like, complain. Oh, that, like I said, they almost don't want the Saints to win sometimes. Then they'll light up. Get rid of everybody. Everybody has to go. So I challenge the Hoodie Nation, why don't you call and say something good about the team or maybe what we need to work on. Well, we have people who will call. But it's amazing, like a win versus a loss, and how many interaction you get, like on a post game show. And this is in the history of football. This is not just here. This is in other communities too. I'm sure it's like that in Philly, Steve, or New York. Hello,
oh, no doubt.
Hello. But again, I'm more impressed with this win than beating the sorry ass Jets. You see with the how much the Patriots beat the Jets today? What was that, 40-something to 3 or something? I know it was bad. See, you can see a team like the Patriots. So, listen, you got to beat the team.
42-10 was the final.
42-10. You're supposed to beat the team supposed to be. We're supposed to beat the Titans and teams like the Jets. Now, I think Atlanta, where we're at right now, we need to finish strong and have that winning streak. And as we go into break, I'm telling you, I said this around the draft and where we're at. You know, the over and under, Vegas. And I said, well, I think it might be the same song and dance. You're going to win 5 games, maybe 6. I think tops would be 7. And then I watched training camp and the offensive line. Not the offensive line we have now because, you know, we plug and play. I thought, I think it might be 4 or 5 wins and at the most 6. But it just goes to show you with Kellen Moore. And how the team has bought into him and how hard they're playing for him. And how they're handling adversity at the beginning of the game, which is unbelievable. We always chasing points, but lately we've found a way to win.
Saints win 34-26 in Tennessee. You can sound off with the Cajun Cannon. Celebrate, Hoodettes. 504-260-1870, the talk and text line. We're coming back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Cajun Cannon, you're like the Rolling Stones. You call out to the audience and they respond. We got a full line here now on the point after the Black and Gold get a 34-26 victory over the Titans in Tennessee. Want to hit you all up real quick, so let's get right to the calls here. Earl in Prairieville, you are first up on the point after. What you got for us today, Earl?
Oh, man, Saints suck now. No, dude, Bobby.
The Saints suck. Saints, what?
I said the arrow is pointing way up, man.
Yes.
I'm
without a doubt.
For this year and for the rest of this year with the Dirty Birds coming up, and then obviously next year in the 2026. I mean, dude, I see kind of like the Saints doing what the Patriots did. I honestly could see that. I can see that coming. This team, they buying into the coaching staff. they're buying into the defensive coordinator. I see huge things for the Saints moving forward. What's your thoughts, Bobby?
Well, I think you always want to build upon. So let's say we get to 7 wins. Well, then you have to win more than 7 games the following year. If not, get to double digit. If you want to be a playoff team, I always say, now, especially when we were playing 16 games, you got to get to 10 wins. You know, I still think 10-7 with 17 games will get you in. You get the double-digit win. So that would be the expectations because you can turn it around quickly. Now it'll be interesting what route we go in the draft because we need, younger players and rookie contracts as far as with the salary cap and getting players that contribute from the get-go. Now you have to develop certain players, but we got to hit on the draft. And, there's no reason why you look at the NFC South. We're in the weakest division. Look who's going to win the NFC South this year is going to be hovering around 500. So who's leading the division right now? The 8-8. Right, Steve?
Carolina Panthers.
8-8. And we waxed Carolina. We kicked that Carolina's behind twice. So, yeah, well, why not us? So that's why we need to hold organizations' feet to the fire next year. And I don't know, take the approach, because considering you just got to win your division, it's playoffs or bust. Now, you ultimately want to win championships, but I think that's where we're at. How we finish the season, I think you always want to finish on a high note. It's 2-for-1, NFC South game. Doesn't mean anything against Atlanta because it's mainly between Carolina and Tampa Bay. But you always want to beat your rival. So it's kind of like 2-for-1. You feel good about yourself in the offseason, and you're building on something. And we just got to have an outstanding draft. Everyone's going to be looking forward to the draft and next season. And it's going to help, I'm telling you, if you end on a winning streak. So all of a sudden, we didn't end the season with a 5-game winning streak. Then you have people, Earl, that'll tell me, Bobby, because I could be objective about this. Bobby, look who we beat. I don't know. It's an NFL team. It doesn't matter. You're not going to have a strength of schedule where the whole season you just play like the best teams. You know what I mean? Like for instance, we all know how tough the Seahawks and the Rams were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not playing them every game. So what if we'd have played the Commanders this year? I don't know. Look how they had bad luck. You know, I think we could have beat the Commanders. So you have to look at really at the strength of schedule, and this is – also, for Spencer Rattler, he's kind of behind the eight ball, that except for the Cardinals, it was like all teams with winning records we were playing. Where on the back end, the Saints played well, we could beat these teams. But you still got to beat them. It's pros versus pros. You got to go out there and do it. And so, you know how you don't want to play down your competition. You want to like, okay, maybe they're having a rough season, but you got to win. I could say right now, let's say we had 3 more games. Okay, we have 4 straight wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would expect us to have 7 straight wins. And let's say we were playing the Falcons, then we play in the Raiders, and we play in the Giants. When you say, hell yeah, we should win 7 in a row. Man, the Raiders and Giants, talk about tanking. They're sorry. They even, I don't know, the New York, that's the Big Apple. That's a rotten apple. Boy, you better get clean house. I'd rather be the Big Easy than the Big Apple, the way the two New York teams are right now. Then you got the Raiders, Stark in Big Vegas and all that. Ooh, the Stars and all coming. They're terrible. Now, the NFL don't like that. Now, if you're truly cheering for a small market and we're not in the hunt no more, you know who you cheer for? The Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, why would we hate the Jaguars? Small market? Let the Jaguars be in the Super Bowl.
I feel that way about Houston, too.
Yeah, Houston, yeah, right up the interstate.
Plus, like you always say, too, it makes easy to just poke more jabs at the Dallas Cowgirls.
Oh, well, without a doubt, you're not even state champs. How can you win the Super Bowl, the Houston Texans, the state champs? Or like, where in a different country, Seattle. Oh, the Super Bowl, Seattle Seahawks and Jacksonville Jaguars. Some people say, oh, Bob, I don't want to see that game. Well, I don't know if they're the best. They can earn that.
Well, today the best, the Saints, get a 34-26 victory at Tennessee. Taking a break on the point after, coming back with your calls right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into The Point After. The Saints getting a 34-26 victory in Tennessee. The Point After is brought to you by McDonald's and Cajun Cannon. You asked and you shall receive. The call line lit up, 504-260-1870 to join The Point After with the Cajun Cannon. Going to get right into your calls. Hollywood in Thibodeau, you are up here. What you got for us tonight?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Steve. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood Swinger. What do you think of that game?
Hey, Bob, the first half was kind of slow.
Yes.
Second half, we finished strong. We got the W. We looked good in the second half, but we got to mix it up the first half and the second half.
Yeah, but we haven't done it. Hollywood, we haven't done it all season. And on the coach's show, he's probably going to be tired of me asking that. What could you do? Well, we're working on it. Steve, I know I've asked them at least four or five times. Like, how can y'all get off to a fast start? I know they're trying. Yeah, it's not happening.
Looks like we found out running back and Epstein. That dude is good. He's better than we can put Kamara to rest.
I kind of like that Epstein. Estime, right. Epstein. Yeah, maybe he's related to Einstein. He runs like he doesn't care, though, if he's banging his head. I mean, he's a battering ram. He's pretty tough.
Hey, Bobby, we got to give our ball a lot of credit. He's starting to catch.
Yes.
Everything, and he's making yards after the catch, and he's making touchdowns. So that's impressive on his part.
No, he was outstanding. He had 11 targets, 8 receptions, 119 yards, 15-yard average, a long gain of 60, a touchdown. No, and his contract. Listen, you want to get paid $25 million, that's what you have to do. You have to play like that. And Juwan Johnson got his contract. Look, 4 targets, 4 catches. This is unbelievable. 24 yards per reception. He had 95 yards. He had a long gain of 39. No, we need, Chuck needs that. It's not a security blanket. It's just the weapons that you need. Chuck needs Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson playing like this every game. Because those are our go-to guys. The big possession receiver. Chris Olave, you can see, sometimes he catches the ball, he's going down because he wants to avoid the hit. I know he's trying to save his back. You know what's going to be awesome? Chris Olave will not have missed a game this season. You know, with the concussions and
that's
everything.
That's a big goal for him, right?
A big goal for him, and I think they will reward him. Now, the only thing, we want Juwan Johnson and Chris Olave to play like a Superman because they have the skill set. I don't know if it was at times lack of concentration when you go like in the Dolphins game. I know Chris Olave can make that catch. If he makes that catch, we probably win that game. So you know how when you much is given, much is required as far as talent. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I don't expect them to. No, we expect them to make those plays. So when they don't, then we're frustrated. We go, come on, you got to catch that because we know they're that good. That being Chris Olave and Juwan Johnson. And don't fumble. Protect the ball. When they're going to punch it out, and that, I don't know, that was that just bad luck? When Pettis fumbled in the end zone?
Oh, that was so disheartening.
So how didn't we get that ball? I don't know. But we still convincingly won. You win by 8 points. But go ahead, Hollywood.
Looks like we got to find another punter. That punter looked like he ain't getting it.
Well, no. Yeah, well, in the NFL, it's like anything. You kick an extra point. I mean, you basically got to be 100%, or if you're under 40 yards, you got to be 100%. If you're under 50, I don't know, you got to make 9 out of 10. And if you're punting, you can't shank punts. Like a 17-yard punt, look where the Titans got the ball right then. But our defense bowled up their neck, but they had such great field position, they were still able to kick the field goal. I mean, look at that. I was looking at that. I go, well, our defense did their job. If you look at it,
no, we basically gave him the field goal, right?
Yeah, because we had went 3 and out, and that's it. Boy, did you see Will Sherman just get run over by Jeffrey Simmons at the beginning and just exploded into Tyler Shuck?
I thought fumbled. That was a scary sign of things to come.
I was like, oh, no, we can't block him. And then he fumbled, we ended up recovering it, but then Kroger kicks a 17-yard punt, and then they go 3 and out, but they have such great field position. They're like basically a 35-yard line. They kick a 50-yard field goal, and we're losing 3-0.
Saints get a win, though, 34-26 in Tennessee. Now 6-10 on the season, have won 4 in a row. We're here on The Point After with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Yeba. You can sound off 504-260-1870, the talk and text line. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay locked in on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the Point After. Saints get a 34-26 comeback victory in Tennessee. Now 6-10 on the season. Taking all your calls and texts here on the Point After with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, 504-260-1870. Jay on the West Bank, you're next up here on the Point After. What you got for us tonight, Jay?
Hey, Bobby, I got two questions. The first is going to be about Cam Jordan. That's pretty poetic. If it was his last game, he was able to get that sack on the, at the end of the game, or he was part of it.
Well, he still got one more game against the Falcons. So,
well,
you look at Cam Jordan, you know what? I hope he gets at least a half a sack against Atlanta. He has 9.5 sacks. It just seems like as a pass rusher, you always want to get the double-digit sacks. You know, like, I want to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I want to be a 1,000-yard running back yardage. Or, you know, I want to get double-digit sacks. So he's at 9.5 right now. And look, I don't know. I still think he got something left in the tank. Look, he had two quarterback hurries. He had a tackle for loss, a forced fumble. I mean, 9.5 sacks. Look at Chase Young. Now, he's young. We invested in him. We paid Chase Young. He had a sack and a half. Now, he has 8.5 sack, and he missed 5 games. I said this in training camp. There's no way that guy's not a double-digit sack guy. And he had two quarterback hurries, tackle for loss. We all know about the forced fumble, fumble recovery, and the scoop and score. So, yeah, Cam Jordan, we need to give him his props. As much as I love the great Ricky Jackson, no, Cam Jordan is a Pro Football Hall of Famer. Because look how much he's always available. Exactly. Go ahead.
My last question, if I asked him, I'm sorry, if I'm pronouncing it correct. So I'm not sure if they signed him. Does he have a couple-year contract? And doesn't he remind you when he runs? He's like Maurice Jones-Drew with a little bit of Dalton Hilliard. The way he bounces around.
Yeah, and he's a strong runner.
I like him.
Yeah, he's a battering ram. If you look at his size, his pad level, you know, Deuce can comment on him. Audric estimate, he looked 5'11". So he's probably 6 feet with his cleats on, right around 230 pounds. It's his second year out of Notre Dame. Now, I don't know what town he's from. It looks like Nyack, New York.
Oh, I know Nyack.
You know where that's at, Steve?
Yeah.
So that's where he went. Again, went to high school, Nyack,
Jersey
New York.
Boy.
So Jersey tough, huh? You could say. Yeah. Look. So estimate. That he'll end up, definitely be in that rotation just by what you're doing right now. I know Saints fans are trusting him.
And seeing here, the Saints have him on a 2-year, $2 million deal. They signed him late this year, so they got him another year.
And you don't have to pay him. that's a shame sometimes because the battering as a battering ram, how he's utilized at times and the toughness he runs.
24 fifth round pick of the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
So we got him from Sean.
Yeah. We have a lot of relationship with the Broncos. So. I estimate big. All I know is we've been having trouble average per carry. And he averaged 6.7.
Oh, it was a breath of fresh air.
That seems like right now, I can't recall, but this season, that seems like a first.
Absolutely. Taking a break here on the Point After. Saints got a 34-26 victory at the Tennessee Titans. Black and Gold have now won 4 straight, and we are riding high. Taking a break on the Point After, coming back with more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on a 4th straight winning edition of the Point After. Saints get a W, 34-26 in Tennessee. With every field goal, Keesler Federal is going to donate $1,000 to the New Orleans Women's and Children's Shelter. This year, Keesler Federal has donated $28,000 of black and gold. Now 1-4 straight. We're going to go back to our talk and text line. First up, James in New Orleans. What you got for us tonight, James?
When you look at today and how the Saints played and the things that they've done, how effective is winning at the end of the season and how that carries over into winning next year?
Well, how does it carry over? Just ask the Patriots. Look how strong the Patriots finished last season. And you could do a project and do homework on a number of teams that it does matter. It does matter, I don't know, because the way we structured mentally as humans. But it does matter how the team finishes and carry that momentum into the next season.
All right, and one more thing before I go. And one thing, you could vouch for this, but one of the things that you really have to be impressed with today's win is that there's certain teams that just have certain teams' number. Like, you look at the Saints, like teams like Minnesota, Cleveland, especially Tennessee. But to say you beat a team like Tennessee, a team that has a reputation for having the Saints number, you have to be impressed with that.
Yeah, and you know, you said because you look at past history, a small sample size considering, you know, they AFC, we NFC. We met 18 times. We don't have a winning record against Tennessee. We are 8-9-1. I said this in the pregame, the first time we ever played them in the Astrodome, it was 13-13. That was the tie, the very first game in 1971. So we're 8-9-1. And but on the road, whether it's the Houston Oilers or our Tennessee Titans, we've actually played better on the road against that franchise than in New Orleans. And we're 5 wins, 3 losses, and 1 tie. So, no, we've had their number playing the Oilers or the Titans on the road.
And you look at a Cajun Kid, and for me today, most impressive, you went into the break down 10 on the road. You come back, more of that grit, that fight you're seeing under Kellen Moore, which is awesome.
Yeah, you want to always have the capability to catch up. And anytime...
Wish we had the lead, but it's nice to know you can
catch
up.
Yes, that if you not double digits, not one score, you know, is 10 points. So anything to me... You know, 9 points or more, because you always can give you hope. That's why Tennessee had hope at the end, because they were losing by 8 points. Yes, that's one score. Because let's say they throw, make a freakish play and they scored it and they make the 2-point play, all of a sudden you're in overtime.
Oh, I was holding my breath, right?
Yeah. So, no, anytime you come back from like 9 points or more, because it's two scores, double digits. Now, shame on any team, and this has happened in the NFL this year. If you're up by 17 points, 3 touchdowns, whatever, and you lose, because it has happened. It's like, what? Come on. That the one disappointing game I can remember, it was at Lambeau Field, and we were up like, I don't know, off the top of my head, I want to say maybe 24-3, or it was like 24-10, and man, I was dreaming playing at Lambeau Field. The weather was nice, a nice fall day. And the second half, they came back. That's when they had Mikowski before Brett Favre, Magic Man, and he was Magic that day. We lost, I don't know, 30-some, 31. Or it was like, what? How we lose that game?
Right.
We were in such command of it. But, yeah, those things happen. It's pros versus pros. So you got to keep the momentum and keep the pedal to the metal to win.
Pedal to the metal to the break right now on the point after. Saints get a 34-26 W in Tennessee. We'll be back more talking about it right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into the point after. Saints get a 24-26 victory in Tennessee. Before we continue on, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Fourth straight victory for the Black and Gold. They are now 6-10 on the season. Going to head into our point after talk and text line. Caruso, you are up next here tonight. What you want to say, Caruso?
I had some questions about this year's upcoming draft because we have all those picks from trading away, Shaheed and Cooks still. And I was wondering where we should focus that at for next year.
Well, that's more Mike Dettillier question. I'll be caught up with the draft, but the one thing I think the fans of Who That Nation will want, like playmakers, because we have attempted, and it's been hit or miss with the offensive line. Like I would say, we definitely hit on Eric McCoy, you know, drafted high. Cesar Ruiz, no, I don't know why we paid him. I'd say Banks, yes. Fuaga, I think he's having a sophomore slump compared to what he did last year, but we move him back to more familiar position at right tackle. Who knows, eventually he might be a guard, and you draft another tackle. Now, I can't think of his name. Now, who we shipped to the Chargers? That was a bust. Offensive lineman.
Trevor Penning. I'm trying to think. I'm like, who did we ship?
I'm probably trying to forget his name, or Trevor Penning. So, yeah, no, we have to hit.
Amazing for the front office to get anything for Penny. So, bravo to them.
Yes. So, like a running back, who would be, I don't know, I still envision like the Saints, because we've had this in the past, big time running backs. They don't have to win the Heisman Trophy like George Rogers. I just look at like Chuck Muncy, George Rogers, Dalton Hilliard, Deuce McAllister, those type running backs. And that would be, to me, and it looks like we're picking them 8 right now. And, you know, oh, well, Bobby, it kind of goes up and down whether you want to invest that much in a running back that high. Let's say even like 8-12, somewhere around there.
Sure.
Look at the contribution. But, Bobby, they haven't won. B.J. Robinson, what he's done with Atlanta.
Bijan's legit.
Yeah, with Bijan, exactly. So Jeremiah Love, is that a fair assessment? I want y'all opinion. Do y'all think that'd be no? I
believe he's the only first round running back talent they consider this year's draft.
Yeah. So look at that, and then you also, Charlie, you could chime in here if you want. Like, who would be a receiver that will warrant to compliment like a Chris Olave? Because I think they're going to pay Chris Olave. They're going to pay him, and whoever you bring in, you still have a rookie weight skill, so you're not having to pay him. I don't think they're going to go after tight end. I think Juwan Johnson will continue to develop in that regard. Maybe more like a younger version of a Foster Moreau kind of thing, maybe, that can serviceable in the passing game, but run block, because I think Kellen does want to be able to run the football. So there's a lot of different options they can have. Cam Jordan getting up in age, pass rush. So
I was gonna say,
Caruso, there's a lot of options, I'm telling you.
Charlie, I saw your finger, but maybe a guy like, you know, looking at another Ohio Stater in Carnell Tate. I'm not hearing you, Charlie. There you go.
There we go. Carnell Tate. Bobby, if you like a big body receiver, 6'3", about 200 pounds, he's going to be a top half of the first round pick. Maybe in the Saints range, maybe even earlier, but he is a true X receiver and a potential wide receiver one at the next level. I love him a lot. Mike and I are going to break him down the closer we get to draft season. But if you're talking about the top receivers in this year's class, it's him, the Jordan Tyson kid from Arizona State, who's kind of similar to Chris Olave in different ways.
No, I don't want another Chris Olave.
Exactly.
We
so
have
if you
that,
want something
yeah.
to compliment him,
yeah.
I know that you already have Devon Vele as a big body receiver.
Right, but
well,
you can have two.
You can have two, exactly. And I think Cardale Tate's going to be a stud.
Great point, Charlie. I like we have you in charge of the draft.
No, if Charlie was in charge of the draft, we would have had a tight end.
We'd have had Tyler Warren. Instead of him going to the Colts, he would have probably been a Saint. But the one thing is that, you know what, fans, they just want some player. If you kind of hit on those players. They just want somebody that works out right away. And that, you know what, they're going to help us win now. We're not developing them.
We just might have offensive rookie of the year.
And Tyler Shuck. And everybody was saying, oh, I want to draft Shador instead of Tyler Shuck. What are you talking about? I mean, all I know is the number one overall pick. No one was bitching about Cam Ward going to the Titans. Who played better, Tyler Shuck or Cam Ward? Hello? You want me to read you the numbers again? And the eye test? He passed the math test, the numbers test, and the eye test. No, Tyler Shuck is better than Cam Ward. Oh, Bobby.
End of story.
Yeah. Oh, no. Okay. Who would have thought? Look where he got drafted. Who would have thought? Who's the best young guy? Look at that class. Would you take Drake May, or who are you going to take over Drake May in that draft? Hello? I'm just telling you.
Taking a break here on The Point After. Saints winners 34-26 over the Titans. Be back with more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Oh, and we are talking about that game, it being a 34-26 victory for the Saints at Tennessee. American Safety, for each point scored by the Saints this season, American Safety is going to donate $50 to disaster relief. American Safety, stronger than the storm, and right here with you. Plenty of patient Houdettes waiting on the line to chime in with the Cajun Cannon after a fourth straight victory. Big John and Metairie, you are up next here on The Point After. What is up, Big John?
Hey, Bobby. Hey. I have a question for y'all.
Okay.
What y'all not realizing is, or what a lot of you aren't realizing is, if Tampa Bay or Carolina would have lost just one more game during the season, or if the Saints would have won, they win next week, they're 7-10. If there would have been a tie or anything, the Saints would have had a better divisional record than both of those.
Right.
Teams.
Well, yeah, that's why next year, let's say you beat the Atlanta, you go 4-2. Well, I'd expect next year, hell, we got to go 4-2 again.
We're sweeping the division, Bobby.
I'm trying to be realistic. Yeah, obviously you want to go 6-0, but I'm saying, no, 5-1 would be even better. We did that a number of times at Drew Brees, but 4-2. Because I thought we'd be 500. Even though I didn't think, the Saints ain't going to do anything this year, I still thought they'd be 3-3. Somehow I always said, you know what? Whether it's Atlanta or Tampa Bay, it's just the way it goes. It doesn't matter the records. Throughout the records, it's just a rivalry-type game. Now, it's great if you could sweep an opponent like we did against Carolina. Big John, just goes to show you, I was telling Steve this, that, okay, the Rams waxed us. We didn't look like we even belong with the Rams.
Same with Seattle.
Yeah, but the Carolina Panthers beat the Rams. And we whooped Carolina not once but twice. So is the NFL, you never know. But Look at Big John and the NFC South, where we're at it, and you look at the schedule and how everything unfolds, that, yeah, you can. There's going to be the woulda, coulda, shoulda type review when you break down when the season's over. After the Atlanta game, we'll do this, I'm sure, in January. But, like, okay, what if Juwan Johnson catches that ball against the Cardinals and we win that game? Just look at the one-score games when we had an opportunity to win. We were hanging with San Fran. We were not hanging with Seattle. No, we got Buffalo. We were within one score at one time, but let's say no. So let's say we had opportunity even to win. Look, we lost 13-20, 21-26. Look at the 49ers right now. They win their last two games. They're going to be the number one seed in the NFC. Who would have thought that? Look all the injuries they've had. But you know why they've kind of turned around? Look how well Brock Purdy's played, their quarterback. And Christian McCaffrey has drunk from the fountain of youth, where he's like a 2,000-yard guy who we would want, like Alvin Kamara. I always said this, that Alvin Kamara was outstanding when he's at his best, but he still wasn't a Christian McCaffrey. He wasn't putting it up more consistent. Go ahead.
I have one more question for you.
Okay.
If Salichuk starts at the beginning of the year, do you think this team would have got to 500?
Well, you can't make a better pass than Spencer Rattler did Juwan Johnson with the Cardinals. So that's hard to say. I don't think we beat Seattle whether we have Tyler Shuck or not. How all of a sudden our special teams is horrendous. They ran back a punt. We were getting crushed before you know it. Buffalo, I don't know. You know, we beat the Giants. We had five takeaways. It doesn't matter when you play a team. For instance, like the Patriots, we lost 19-25. Look how the Patriots are playing now compared to then. The Bears, I never thought we'd win that kind of game. So you could go through all these games like the Rams. I don't think they're. The two games to me that if we just make these plays, and one is with Spencer Rattler and one was with Tyler Shuck. If Juwan Johnson makes the great catch, the contested, unbelievable catch, we beat the Cardinals. If Chris Olave makes the great play against the Dolphins with Tyler Shuck, we beat the Dolphins. Right. Okay, Steve, so do the math now.
The one against the Dolphins is more viable to me just because it looked like Juwan got hit by a Mack truck.
Yeah, Juwan. Oh, yeah, Mack truck.
Against the Arizona Cardinals, he was blown up by Buda Baker and co. there.
I don't know. It hit him in the hands. I mean, you want him a contested catch? And then, yeah, it wasn't a contested catch, Chris Olave. I think he just misjudged the ball.
Yeah.
So what is our record right now, Steve? What are we?
We are currently 6-10, KG Cannon.
Okay, 6-10. So that means, so we'd have 6-10, 16 games. So we'd be 8-8 right now. I'm just trying the Cardinals and Dolphins games. So we'd be right there.
In the thick of the title.
Going,
hunt.
Oh, we beat Atlanta. You're winning the NFC South, and if you lose, you go home. No, we're not far off. We're right there. We beat Atlanta. We're 4-2 in the NFC South. I'm telling you, might say, Bobby, we should be the NFC South. Sorry. Yeah, sorry, but it's still a great accomplishment because you want to win your division. You know why you want to win your division? Because whether it's the sorry-ass Panthers or Tampa Bay backing into the playoffs, you know what ends up happening? They get to host a playoff game. The record don't matter. Remember when the damn beast mode was going on the break? Remember we went up to Seattle? Oh, the time ahead, I want to say we were 11-5 that year. And we had to travel to Seattle because they won their division. They were 9-7.
Correct.
And we lost. So that's why I'm going to tell you, the owners don't want to give that up. I would like it where I don't care if you have the best record, you should be hosting a game because you play each other anyway. But they like that. Oh, you win your division, you get to host a home game. They all like that money. And so I don't know how they divide it. But yeah, that's why whoever, even though you might say they're hovering around 500, whether it's Carolina or Atlanta, I mean, not Atlanta, Carolina, Tampa Bay, they get to host a playoff game.
Yes, indeed. Saints winning 34-26 today, folks. Week 17 in Tennessee. On the Point After, coming back with more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
A winning point after fourth straight edition, I should say. The Black and Gold 34-26 victory at Tennessee. New Orleans 6-10 on the season. Going back to our talk and text line, you can sound off 504-260-1870. Cajun Cannon, we got T-Bone and Treme up next. T-Bone, what you got for the Cannon?
I want to ask Bobby, our offensive line, are they better pass blocking or run blocking? And whichever one is the weakest, how can you improve it?
Well, I don't think we're amongst the best in either one. I think Tyler Shuck has made him better, but a lot of times the quarterback can make the offensive line better. Right now we're plugging and playing the offensive line. The proof's in the pudding how we've not been able to run the ball this season. Now we ran the ball today. I think Estime with his effort, that was outstanding. But when you look at it, we ran the ball today against the Tennessee Titans. So I got to look, what did they do on the season, their run defense, and where they were at? So they were better than the Saints. They were going to have 119 yards a game, so basically middle of the pack. So you look at that. So you look, who you run against, who you're not able to run against. But we only average 3.6 yard carry. Like even Alvin Kamara, they're all down. Devin Neal, 3.6, yards per carry. Even Taysom Hill, he was at 2.3. You look at Estime, he was outstanding today at 6.7, but he was at 3.7. So I think if they have holes that we can run, but what we haven't had this year is like those splash runs or splash plays. And Steve, I tell you, look this up. At one time I was concerned. Now I'm going off on a little bit of tangent here.
Yeah, and I have it here. The Titans had five plays of 25 or more.
Okay, yeah. This is still with a quarter and a half to go, so we bowed up. But at one time, we gave up five plays of 25-plus yards or more. That's what we haven't had with the splash run. Like, for instance, our longest run one time was Taysom Hill, that 29-yard run. Now, was that the Rams game, Steve?
That was the Rams, right.
Yeah, Alvin Kamara didn't have any of those.
Estime had a 32-yarder today.
Yeah, exactly. So our running back, you'd expect that. That's the kind of runs. But you got to have maybe a couple of handfuls of those throughout the season. So you say, what is our offensive line? Is it good pass blocking or is it good run blocking? I would say because I measure T-Bone how we were in the past, they can't hold their jock. Now, we had the best of the best, like Teron Armstead, Jari Evans, like Carl Nix. I'm looking at that was over a span of a dozen years, whatever. Or Max Unger, who just retired from Wisconsin. Ryan Ramczyk. So I can go on and on. Man, we ain't got none of those cats. We ain't got nobody in the freaking Pro Bowl. We always had linemen in the Pro Bowl. Jari Evans could be a Pro Football Hall of Famer. So T-Bone, even though we've tried to address the offensive line, the best lineman we've had has been hurt the last 2 years and has played half the season. Eric McCoy from Texas A&M. He can start for every team. Either I say center, guard, center. So the guys that were playing today, and look at SMU running like that, two out of the five are starters. Okay, the tackles. And Fuaga's been having off year. I think Banks could be all right at left tackle. But you look at the two guards in the center, no, they're like journeymen. And I kind of joked before the game, Cesar Ruiz didn't want to play today. Oh, my ankle. My ankle's really hurting bad. Man, I guarantee you, we're paying Cesar Ruiz like he should be able to block Jeffrey Simmons by himself, but he can't. He'd have to have help. So, that's still a problem. So to say, are we a good running offensive line or pass blocking offensive line? I would say Deuce and I talked about the first half. We weren't winning in the trenches.
Not at all.
I would say both. I would tend to give maybe our defensive line more credit because I know we went against the Rams. I'd be happy if we could get two first downs in a row against the Rams in training camp. And our defensive line was hanging with their offensive line. So as far as offensive line, I think we got a ways to go, whether we run blocking or we pass blocking. But the quarterback can make them look better than what they really are. You know, whether you're escaping a rush, avoiding a sack like Tyler Shuck has done. Spencer Rattler has done that at times too. But you can make an offensive line look better just by getting rid of the football. Because a lot of times, sack. Okay, for instance, I know I'm going to talk about this. You know what happened before the game? And you might say, oh, the offensive line sucks for the Titans. How about Cam Ward and even the radio guy, Taylor, the play-by-play guy, he said, no, Cam Ward's holding the ball on too much. He sacked 51 times as late, not as much, but we got him four times. Same thing with Geno Smith, 52 sacks up with the Raiders. No, I'm telling you, if you're really playing the quarterback position at a high level, that 51 sacks, you cut that in half. That should be about 25 sacks. Then the offensive line will want to even fight for you more. But you can make the offensive line better than what they really are, depending on the quarterback.
Taking a break here on The Point After. You can sign off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. When we return, more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Well, wait, Steve. Why do they keep doing that promo Saints Nation? Okay, I don't have no authority.
Who that nation?
Who that nation? I don't know. I might get in trouble with the Saints, whatever. Because they're right, Saints Nation.
You'd never get in trouble.
No, that sounds weak. Saints Nation. It'd be like, oh, Titans Nation. What? No, who that nation sounds homegrown for real. Oh, Bobby Hebert, founding father of the Saints Nation. No, founding father of the who that nation. Hello. I'm not just going to go along to get along with that. That's a bunch of bulls.
Well, now who that nation is also merging with the Shuck Nation.
Yes. Yeah, Shuck it. and he knows what he's doing. And we got a great text here.
Yeah.
This is from
504-260-187 is sound off on the text and talk line, folks.
Yeah, this is 95-68. What's the difference between Shuck and Rattler that you see? Why are we now winning? Is it a Shuck thing or the team just playing better? Well, I think the team is playing better, but Shuck helps the team play better. He elevates the people around him to play better. It does make a difference. Like, have you noticed the Chiefs' offense since Pat Mahomes has not played? Have you noticed the last two games? The Chiefs got waxed by the Tennessee Titans. And that was week 16 before we played the Titans.
Very fresh.
They beat the Chiefs 26-9. They go, oh, Bobby, well, Pat Mahomes didn't play. Well, Pat Mahomes don't play defense. The Titans scored 26 points against that Chiefs defense. And then what happened the recent game with the Chiefs offensively? What, they had 60 yards passing or whatever? So, yes, the quarterback does make a difference. So, I think Rattler's an NFL quarterback. To be on a roster, whether that's a journeyman, whatever you think. There's not 32 legit starters, but Shuck's on a different level. And you don't need – well, Bobby's on such a different level. He's an older individual. Look how long he played college. What, he's like 26, 27? He should have been ready to play from the get-go. Well, then why wasn't Drake May ready to play from the get-go? Then the Patriots have patience with him. Jacoby Brissett, the journeyman quarterback, started the first six games. In the 2024 season, And then Drake May came along, and look what he's doing now. So, yeah, that's why, listen, football coaches know more than us. And not all the time, but you have to trust them. And Kellen Moore, play quarterback. Look, Nussmeier. Who's the quarterback coach? I can't even think of the other one. They all got...
You got Scott Tolzien.
Scott Tolzien. They all know the highest level. Whether you can play at the highest level, where a lot of them can coach and they know what they're seeing. So that's why. What's the difference between Shuck and Rattler, you see? I think he helps elevate the players around him better. And again, a Rattler can have a Jacoby Brissett kind of career and play 10 years.
And I think you're seeing, too, a difference between Tyler Shuck, a second-round pick, and Spencer Rattler, a fifth-round pick.
Yes.
That's not always the case.
No, because you look at Tom Brady, you look at Joe Montana as a third-round pick and all that. Okay, but you look Tyler Shuck, 48th pick, Cam Ward.
First.
Who played better today? It's not even close. I can go over and over again. Whether it's QB rating 143-89. You look yards per attempt, 6.3 versus 12.3. Completion percentage, 52.5 versus 81.5. Now I can go on and on. 333 yards versus 251. Nothing against Cam Ward. But right now, Tyler Shuck, what you've done for him lately, is playing
level,
like the number one overall quarterback that was drafted. Okay, who would you take right now? And people might say, well, Bobby, you got to give him a chance. I would not take Mendoza, who just won the Heisman Trophy. I don't know if he's going to lead Indiana to a national championship. The Raiders are probably going to draft him number one overall. I wouldn't take Mendoza over Tyler Shuck right now. I don't know. We got to wait and see. And
right, I'll take what I know I have right now.
Yes. And then what if Tyler Shuck stinks it up against Atlanta? I don't know. Then you fight back and you come back. You're not going to play perfect. But Tyler Shuck, to me, seems like that it factor. Like Drake May. You look at certain people, they just have that it. If everybody knew Patrick Mahomes would have been as great as he's been, you know, when you pass the torch, Tom Brady, you know, you look at the Peyton Mannings, everybody, then you look at Pat Mahomes. Wouldn't Pat Mahomes have been drafted number one overall? We wanted to draft Pat Mahomes, and Andy Reid jumped us. And then we had to take Marshawn Lattimore at cornerback. What was that, 11, 12 pick?
Correct, yeah.
Hello? So it's not an exact science. But I'm just saying right now, Tyler Shuck, to me, is a better option than Cam Ward.
Gage and Ken on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Up next here on The Point After, Derek in Denham Springs wants to sound off, Ken. What you got for us tonight, Derek?
Hey, Cage, the first time calling, man. Appreciate y'all taking my call. Look, I got to apologize, that dog, to Tyler Shuck. I went bad on this man when he got drafted. I went on Facebook Live, talked bad about him. I talked about Kellen Moore. I talked about Gale. I talked about Loomis. I owe them fellas an apology. You hear me?
Well, the thing is, at least, Derek, you manning up. You man enough to admit, listen, yeah. we not always right. Now, you can have an opinion, but at least you're admitting, okay, I'm looking at the big picture. It looks pretty bright.
So hey, I got just a quick question. With that being said, what do you think we should go after as far as the draft? I think we got our quarterback. I don't give a darn. The dude has just shown – it's not that he's playing good and putting up numbers. I mean, he's brought us back.
Right.
Out of holes. Like you say, he's elevating it. It's like Olave's catching passes now. Juwan's catching passes now. The defense is playing better. It's like they want to get him the ball. So what do you think we should do as far as the draft now? You know, what direction should we go?
Well, we still got holes on this team. And I think,
all over.
Yeah, that, you know, you don't say like best player available. I want a player who's going to kick ass from the get-go. Now, Bobby, who's that? I don't know. That's not my my pay grade. I don't to evaluate. You can have an opinion. But I would think right now, because Kamara's age and all that, even though Estime had this nice, he can maybe be part of that, especially if he finishes strong. You want him in that running back room. You want it by committee. But now with Kamara and his age, I'd say Kamara might end up, who knows? Kamara might end up with Sean Payton in the Broncos. If Taysom Hill keeps playing, who knows? But I would say they're not that in the future because of their age. So, I don't know, Jeremiah Love, the running back from Notre Dame.
Yeah, shoot, to that point, I don't even know what's up with Kendra Miller.
No, I don't. Kendra Miller. No, he's hurt too much.
Right.
Yeah, Kendra Miller and then you know, I kind of like Devin Neal. But don't estimate it like he just, I don't know, he's bigger, runs harder. I don't know. Just look at how they've fallen forward. I want more an impactful back like Alvin Kamara was impactful, like a Deuce McAllister. Even though, you know, it was impactful, two guys, they were part of the rotation needed by committee. Look at the contribution Darren Sproles and Reggie Bush have with the Saints. Now, Reggie Bush, we wanted him to be Superman. He's not Superman, but Reggie Bush is outstanding. Darren Sproles, you know, Pierre Thomas, the master of the screenplay. I mean, he's like the coaching clinic. This is how you run a screenplay. So we need those, but it can be by committee, or you have an impactful player like the Notre Dame running back. Isn't he from Notre Dame, that Rams running back?
Yes.
I think he's pretty damn good.
Kyron Williams, yeah.
You know who I like too, boy? You get that kind of running back, the Lions guy, Jamar Gibbs. You know, I don't know, that kind of guy to complement Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
You don't think Jamar Gibbs makes Jared Goff better? But you know what? It was crazy. Ragnar, whatever their center, sounds right. Like a Viking. He's playing for the Lions. That's the thing. This year, compared to last year, the Lions offensive line's not as good. They were dominant last year. So,
taking a break here on The Point After. The Saints get a 34-26 victory in Tennessee. Taking your calls, 504-260-1870, right here on The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're getting shucked tonight here on The Point After. Black and Gold winning 34-26 in Tennessee. But right now, time for What's Bugging Bobby about today's game. Brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. Cajun Cannon, the Black and Gold down by 10 at the half. Come back and win this one. But, man, what was bugging you about today's game?
Well, what's bugging me is, because you got to win in all phases, offensive and special teams, is the damn punter. So, Bobby, that's really bugging you? Yes. Because we have not had a good net average the whole season. You know, I look at what's occurred as far as us putting the football, because you look at the hidden yardage when you're trying to flip the field. Now, he has gotten better, that being Mr. Kroger, the rookie from South Carolina Gamecocks. But it'll be a lot of competition, I think, next year. His net is right at 37.9 to be exact. And our opponents are 42.2. But then you look... that what occurred today, his net punting average was 29.7. It's not a high school punter, whatever. And then they weren't much better. They were 36.3, but not good when you have a 17-yard punt. I don't care if you're outside dealing with inclement weather. The wind is the NFL. You can't shank a punt. So that's bugging me that because you want to win in all phases. At first I was saying it was bugging me is because I want him – to be, because he's a great guy. I want Smith, Charlie Smith, to be the kicker. But he came through. He even got a game ball, Coach. We even saw Coach Moore gave him
the
a couple
post-game,
of games.
Right.
Because he kicked those, what, was it 57, 58 yards?
Yeah, he was booming all the long distance ones.
Yeah, yeah. Now we need him to make them all, though. Because it could come down to in Atlanta, because a lot of times the Falcons game, remember when they had the Korean kicker, Koo, whatever, making a game-winning kick and time runs out. So, That Charlie Smith might have that opportunity next week in the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta to win six games in a row. So that was six. Think about that. Who would have thunk that?
Right,
it's right there before you.
You look at the standings now in the NFC South, and obviously the Saints are right in a stone's throw of Carolina. Tampa just don't have enough games left anymore to catch them, unfortunately.
Because when I couldn't look in the crystal ball and say this would be the case, but when we were 1-8 –
no.
And just got thumped by the Rams. I was like, well, the last time the Saints were 1-8 was in 1980 when they finished 1-15. So I said, don't worry. We're going to, I thought at that time, I said, we're going to win three or four games. But no, we've much better than that, obviously.
Yeah, I left. For me, at least, I kept looking, all right, the Saints are going to get a top three pick. All right, they're going to have a top five, top 10. Now I'm like, well, maybe a top 12 pick? I don't know.
Yeah, depending what happens in the other games, and it dictates where you pick.
Right now, as of this moment, it's number 8.
Number 8, yeah. The bottom line is you're going to get a starter, or you should draft a starter, and we're not developing, they're contributing. I'm not saying they got to be all pro, but it should be a legit starter that you could count on. And not. Oh, don't worry, be patient, Bobby. 2, 3, 4 years, no. It's not. We're not waiting for Robert Meacham to develop. Remember the wide receiver? And he was a good player for us. He could run block good. He was fast. But he was one of those 3 or 4 year projects.
Man, you mentioned Meacham. To me, that's the first thing that popped into my head for Chase Young's play today. It was almost a la that.
Chase Young's play was great, but it still wasn't at Robert Meacham's level. That play that Robert Meacham did against the Redskins is the greatest play to me, the most improbable play in Saints history.
Unbelievable, right?
Drew Brees throws an interception, and the guy, I want to say, was it Pound? Or I want to say the guy who intercepted the ball played at Nickel State and Thibodeau was for the Redskins. He intercepts Drew Brees. It might have been not. It was, I'm thinking a Nickel State player, safety. He intercepts the pass, and then Robert Meacham, you know, just takes it away from him because he ran a few steps, taking it away from him. Then he runs and scores a touchdown. To me, if you pull up, because you would, Steve, YouTube or something, you can look about any of those plays.
The safety for the then Washington Redskins was Kareem Moore.
Kareem Moore. It wasn't Pounds. Yeah, Kareem Moore. Didn't he go to Nickel State? I'm almost sure. He went to Nickel State. And Robert Meacham just stole the ball from him and scored a touchdown. To me, that's the most improbable, greatest play in Saints history. And it's the great Drew Brees.
You got a good memory, Cannon. Nickel State, indeed.
Yeah, so and Drew Brees, I mean, look, come on. Drew Brees, a Pro Football First Ballot Hall of Famer. That's when you know you're living right. You throw an interception and somehow you get a touchdown out of it. And so Robert Meacham, no.
Give me that.
Yeah, that was very similar, like with Chase Young. I'm not only going to sack you and force you to fumble, I'm going to take it like the honey badger. It's like the defensive end version of the honey badger. I'm going to take what I like. I'm going to take it and I'm going to run with it and score.
And just obviously it didn't turn the tide completely in the game, but it sure gave you some kind of semblance that the Saints are still in this and not, you know, out of the matchup, even though right afterwards Titans came back and scored again.
Yeah, when he did that sack, that scoop and score, Chase Young, we were down 13-3.
Right.
And then we made it 13-10. It was almost 13-9 because Charlie Smith boinked the extra point.
Doink.
Doink. That actually went in. But yeah, Steve, it was 13-10. I was not pleased what occurred right then.
Right after?
They went 9 plays, yeah. 80 yards, 3 minutes, 38 seconds. That's when Alante Taylor and I think Quincy Riley, they went on the same page. And
they were kind of yapping with each other. I thought you had them.
Yeah, but then that's when you also was a 3rd and 14, which they never should get. That's when you had the interference on Justin Reed to get him down there. And
you saw when it happened, it was just you hung your head like, that's a flag.
Yeah, and I was talking at halftime. I go, the young secondary is struggling. And then along with, Justin Reed, but it was a penalty trying to play catch up, but too many busted coverages on that. Now, the one thing is kind of comical. Was when it was 4th and 2, because I said this at halftime, two of the bigger plays was 3rd and 2 and 4th and 2 to start the game. They had one play was 3rd and 2, Cam Ward to DK plus 38, that's when they beat. Alante Taylor was trailing Sanker, I think didn't have the right angle. Then the other one was the 4th and 2 when he hit, Ward hit Chig, plus 43, and Kool-Aid was in coverage, and he gets burnt, blew the coverage. Then he missed the tackle along with Sanker, and then that went 7 plays, 64 yards. That's when I said, Kool-Aid looked like sugar water on that play instead of Kool-Aid. So we did bounce back, though, the second half. We second half all around. But we did struggle, definitely, our young secondary in that first half.
Saints scoring 34 points today in a victory over the Titans, 34-26, improving to 6-10, 1-4 in a row. Taking that break, we'll wrap up the point after. Stay tuned right after this, folks, on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Back here to wrap up a winning point after, Saints 34-26 in Tennessee. Right now, we're going to pause 10 seconds, though, and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cajun Cannon wanted to share with you something on Twitter right now. Rookies in the Super Bowl era with 300-plus passing yards and no interceptions in back-to-back games.
So it's not an opinion. This is actually what happened. Okay.
Actual factual statistics.
Yeah, so read that again, Steve, so I want everybody to hear this.
Rookies in the Super Bowl era, 300-plus passing yards and back-to-back games with no interceptions. Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow.
And Tyler Shuck.
That's the list.
I think around here we respect Joe Burrow, don't we?
Definitely.
Now, I respect Dak Prescott because he's from Houghton, Louisiana.
But just
Houghton
not
Buccaneer.
The team he's on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm with you.
But this year, the Cowgirls didn't win. It wasn't because of Dak Prescott. Their defense was sorry. So all I know is that's pretty good company. Dak Prescott, Joe Burrow, and now Tyler Shuck.
And I laugh because Louis Riddick, ESPN analyst, has been taking laps about his analysis of Tyler Shuck, the rookie QB for the Saints. His tweet, Shuck all of you who tried to clown my guy before even giving him a chance to take a snap. See who's laughing now. Hashtag who dat.
Yes.
All right, Lewis Riddick.
Yeah, Lewis Riddick was all over around the draft on ESPN and all that, and a national spokesperson. And, yes, shout out to – he's the ESPN member of the Who Dat Nation. You know, I actually played with Lewis Riddick. He's a Pitt Panther. But that was with Atlanta. I'm not going to say that too loud. But, yeah, so, no, good guy. Very knowledgeable. Works hard at his craft. Lewis Riddick, yeah, big part of the Who Dat Nation. And, obviously, Tyler Shuck.
Looking forward to Victory Monday and the new year, plus second guessing with the Cajun Cannon at the Silver Slipper tomorrow. Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Who Dats.
All right. Bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who Dat go, Saints.
Who Dat.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.